the last four and a half years, but this was very different. This was so going back to the end of last year, I've done a little bit of travelling in Asia, and I kept having a calling to write a book about kind of about the humanity and where we're at and what's actually going on, what's real, what's authentic, what's true, and what's kind of divine, and what do we see and what do we not see, because there's so much more to this. And I just felt this little kind of like bubbling in my stomach, you know, like a gut feeling, like an intuition, like that there's more to this, and that I need to express a lot, because I've been to many places and experienced very unique things that I've often questioned, and I've been like, this is more than a coincidence. This is there's more to this. So yeah, going back to around, it was around about the 1st of December, 2019, so about 11 months ago. I was just in bed in the morning. I had work in about 2 hours' time. And I just felt this universal calling, like it's so subtle, but it was like a knowing. And I started getting taken back, like a trance, like to stages of my life, and seeing that it wasn't quite what I thought it was. And there was certain decisions that I made and certain happenstances that I'd taken for kind of granted or whatever. And I was getting these little pictures, and all of a sudden I'm just like, I'm laying there and I'm like, oh my God, like, you know, what is this? Like, am I going crazy? Is it this? Is it that? And then from the 1st of December, it was definitely, I remember that exact morning. I just thought, oh, okay, I need to just meditate and just try and like chill out. So I went on my yoga mat, just laid down, done a meditation. I put just like binaural beats in my ears to kind of synchronize and balance my harmonious state. And yeah, and then I just got all these kind of messages. And then from then on, it started with the post-it notes. And I was just writing down all these insights I'm getting about my life and where I'm going. And not just my life, just like the whole, it's like a puzzle. This was the start of a very internal and interesting puzzle that I never thought I would be this kind of specifically chosen person for this humanitarian role in this, you know, kind of awakening humanity. And so that's basically how it started. And especially with mental health, I started putting a lot of pieces to my anxiety problems and to problems I've had with depression and mental health labels, and seeing through this kind of illusion. But it was subtle, and it was very hard to kind of handle my job and do that. But that's kind of how it started. And it was within 7 days, I was like, okay, right, I'm going to write a book. But what am I going to call it? And I started writing a couple of notes, and all of a sudden it just, something come into me, heal, heal, heal. It just kept saying heal. I was like, okay, all right. I write heal down, and I was like, oh, what? So I wonder what heal can mean. And then this is what happens with automatic writing, with channeling, you know, if you put pen to paper or you're on a laptop, automatic writing, you can flow and you can write. You don't even know where it's coming from. It just comes out. There's many authors, you know, that have done this, and I didn't think I was one of these, you know, psychics, I suppose, you know, that can tap into them higher realms. And then I just wrote it down, humanity evolving awakened love. And I just felt this urge of, that's it, that's right, that's what it is. And it just comes through. It's like a subtle knowing, and it's so divine, intelligent, and supreme. And you can't, as much as I questioned it early on, I can't question it anymore, you know. It's so vivid. It's like somebody could shout in my face, and I wouldn't pick it up as much as I would with this universal kind of knowing. So that was the book name done. And yeah, I went off for 3 weeks. I had a bit of a hard time in Thailand, and I come back and started writing this book. But the problem was, I'd done a lot of writing, but I couldn't filter through light energy and dark energy, because this world, if we could see the world that we do not see, it's very dark in energy, because the vibrations are very low on this planet. You know, that's why there's a lot of fear-based, you know, there's a lot of fear-based facts and you know, sort of actualities that have been in our environment for quite a long time now, you know, compared to what our divine truth is. So I picked up a lot of, it was a lot of truth in my first book. So basically, yeah, I wrote a whole book, and I published it on the 5th of June 2020, and it was you could easily say that what I wrote, I could be sectioned in the Mental Health Institute. And I believed that it was good, because it was these subtle energies, and I picked up the the dark. It was like being played by the darker realms and stuff like that. So I went through that. I released it. You know, I went through a lot. You know, there was a lot of people that I could tell turned their back on me and thought I was crazy. You know, and there's a lot of people that they like to say, oh yeah, you know, mental health. I'll do this. Or we'll do press ups. We'll do this. We'll do that. But when it comes to the crunch, and I went through it, like, yeah, definitely went insane. I just didn't. I didn't have that backing from the people that talk the talk. You know. So I learned a lot about myself, and I took myself off. I went on another little holiday in Darwin, and I brushed myself off. And I come back, and I've done this rewrite of Heal, and I'm just absolutely shocked. It's pure. It's from the high, from the supreme realms of white light. There's no interference. I've mastered the filtering of dark and white, and you know, I didn't even know a name of a chapter, and it would just come out. And then I'd write that chapter and I'd be like, oh, wow. And I'd go back and I'd be guided to go back and change little bits around. It's like I'm a puppet on a string. And it's very hard to do this, by the way. But I went with it and I carried on. And then I'm like getting to a blank chapter. I'm like, what am I going to call this chapter? Like, oh, you know, my labeled self is all panicking. And like, oh, what am I going to do? This, that, you know, all these kind of normal, you know, sort of standard things that we worry about. And you know, I'm thinking, like, what's going on? And then I'll just go, and I'll just come out of a chapter. So there was this one chapter, it's called The Rise of the Silenced Prophet. I had no idea I was going to write that, and that chapter's immense. And yeah, just sort of, yeah, it comes out. So, yeah, moving forward a little bit. So then I was doing my job, and within 2 weeks of having this calling and writing some profound things and going back and, like, rewriting historic things and astral traveling to places, being shown the truth of what's going on and the reality of it, and this book is actually a trilogy, so it's in three parts within a book. And then I just got this nudge. I was like, you need to leave your book. You need to leave your job. You can't handle your job, because my job's very three dimensional. If you know, there's different realms and dimensions. It's a very physical, low vibrational. You know, there's meetings and you're being told what to do, and it kind of sucks me down. And then I try and do my book where I'm in this higher realm. It's very hard to get purity. So I was like, I've got to leave my job. So yeah, I just left my job. I was an Indigenous football coach and mentor in a remote town in Australia. And yeah, I was sort of a leader and taught football, soccer as you call it, to the kids and community. And I left it at I had free vehicles, no rent, bills, no nothing. It was pretty good, really, a lot of money. And I was just like, nah. And yeah, just stayed in my cabin for the last 3 months and have barely socialised at all. And just book, that's it. And just, yeah, it's been easily the most challenging time ever in my life. I found out everything about myself. I found out everything about the world. I've looked through the illusion. I've gone through the illusion. I've been shown the illusion. And I've mastered so many different things. The way that I speak now, it can come out just naturally. I don't worry about it. I know why I've had anxiety, depression, been labelled with, you know, bipolar, ADHD, ADD, had all of these, you know, being bullied, being had all these things happen to me. And I looked around and I could see the bigger picture. And it was like I was just this beam of light looking down on the world, and I could see all the problems, you know. And I'm not going to go into the physicalities, you know, like the coronavirus and all of the corruption and stuff, because it's more a higher realm of that. It's, you see over that. But we are coming out of it. The Great Awakening of 2020 is on the verge of going through. The 11th of November is a significant date, and so is the 21st of December. And it's going to be absolutely beautiful. It takes a lot to shock me, and what I write shocks me. I'm just like, wow, how do I know that? And then it makes logical sense. So I'll write something profound, and I'll be like, nah, that can't be right. So I'll just be like, well, okay, you got to back it up. You got to, you know, research it, make sure you're right. Every single time I'm spot on, and I'm like, and it's like scary, you know, like, I'm like, oh my God. But it just kept happening and happening and happening. So yeah, it's three parts, 11 factors each part, and 33 chapters altogether. And I'll do, like, an as I conclude, and some chapters are tiny. There's one chapter that's literally like 7 sentences, and then there's another chapter that's like 11,333 words, because it's all synchronized. There's all like certain divine words in each paragraph in each chapter, and the whole book's like something like 109,999 words. It's all this, you know, what I would call as unexplainable synchronicity, but I understand it now, and it just happens. And so, yeah, that's kind of a background about the book and where it started and how I battled through the dark to come out of the light, and now I see the bigger picture, and now I'm at a point where I'm not scared anymore. So whatever I want to say, I will say, and there's a lot of suicide in the world. Suicide, mental health, and suppressed emotions are the biggest pandemics by far, and people need to talk about it more. And as a society, a mass society, we need to do, we need to act and not just react. And I've seen that. And then, you know, I was off Facebook for 3 months and I come back on and everything's the same, if not worse, you know, and there's a lot of people that are circulating certain things and it's not really going anywhere. And sometimes you have to bite that comfort apple, you know, like you have to just do it. And it, like elation and euphoria and ecstasy is on the other side of comfort, you know, and people say it, and but do they do it? You know, everyone can talk a good game. I used to be the same. And I mean, I can't say that before December, I was the same. I'm just lucky to be this, you know, chosen person that can see all this stuff. But yeah, I think going within is a really significant answer. You know, there's so many spiritual people out there that they're desperately trying to wake the world up, and there's a lot of facts that are coming out about the truth, and there's evidence coming with it. You know, there's not any room really for ignorance, and there's no real excuse for ignorance either anymore, because there is no excuse. There's no, if you're seeing evidence coming up about a lot of things and a lot of very bad things, you know, and then, you know, you're scrolling down and you're carrying on, like, you know, yeah, it's worrying. And it's a time where, as a society, if we realise that the highest vibrational frequency of love is not the love that we think that we might know, it's more powerful than that. It's that unconditional love that just flows, that just like, it's like a wave, you know, it's like this calm, soothing wave, and you're floating together, and everyone shares, everyone's there for each other, and we realise that, you know, we've been victims to a very big regime, and very, very intelligent and dark regime that's far more superior than us. But togetherness and love, and then secondly forgiveness, they're the main keys to unlock the golden door, you know, because we're stepping into the golden age now, and it's never seen before in humanitarian or universal history, and it's going to be amazing. And there's you know, there's over 55% of us that we've got like built-in alarm clocks, so when this awakening happens, we're going to get all the memories of all of our past lives, and we're going to click and click and click and click. But those many of us that are ignorant, like, only the strongest souls may, you know, survive. But if they can just look and see the bigger picture now, and just at least understand it, and at least like be like, yeah, okay, so I saw this, maybe I'll just research it, you know, maybe I'll just have a little look, see if there's truth in it. And then you start picking up and you start feeling that, you get a knowing, and you get that gut, and you get the intuition, and that's how we're supposed to be, because we're like the most unique race of beings in the whole, in many universes. We're so unique that we don't realise, you know, we should be utilising, I know this may sound a little bit far-fetched, but our reality should be more aligned with, you know, like telepathy, and, you know, like having that real core, like that communication of a higher realm level with ourselves, with animals, with all beings, with our mother earth, and you know, even teleportation. There's all of this different things, and there's been many people that have come to get that have actually studied. There was a man studied teleportation, and he proved that he could get any place in the world from one place to another within 20 minutes. He also proved that cars don't need, that you can run cars off of like water vapor, and he would have crushed the oil industry. He even proved that we can actually be fulfilled and know and have plenty of nutrition without physically eating food, just with the power of our minds. And I know how powerful the minds are, you know, it's just such an untapped, our minds are hella, so intelligent, you know, the reason why we only use 15 to 20% max sometimes, you know, a little bit more sometimes, but there's so much more. We can tap into our subconscious, Yeah, he studied it. He got all this, you know, it was amazing. The problem was, though, he went to Rome, and, you know, the history of Rome is kind of like the smallest country in the world holds the biggest secrets. And he went there and he had all these leaders in the meeting, and just like many other people, same as Tesla, you know, with the light bulb, he was a genius. The same as all these people, they come up and they prove all these amazing things and they can evolve us, you know. There's too much money and physicality in this world to weaken us down, and he would have, obviously, the oil industry would yeah, that would have gone. And then, yeah, so they had this big meeting, and then, yeah, they took his ideas. He gave them all this great theory, done this teleportation. It was like a little device, I think. It was a little device. And, yeah, you could just like go from anywhere in the world. And, obviously, you know, flights make a lot of money. And maybe they wouldn't make any money if we knew our truth. But, yeah, he got played. I call it being played. So, yeah, he had, I think it was Iran and Nigeria. They both cut him down, chopped him down, cut the idea. And then, yeah, he just like many other people, he got invited to dinner and somehow died of food poisoning, you know, just like the indigenous and the native Indians. Same old story. It happens all over the world. Buddhist monks, massacres, millions and millions and millions. You know, those that know the truth happen to have something strange happen to them. They're silenced in one way or the other. And this time in universal history is a time where we realize what's going on, and we act and we don't react. And we basically become this like dud of duality, you know, like we spread our wings together and we see through this illusion, because and going within, and all the people that have passed away in our life, they're our protecting angels. They're coming through now more than ever. So there's certain smells that we're going to be getting, there's certain knowings, there's thoughts of those that have left us that we're going to get sporadically come up. We're going to have them come in our dreams. We're evolving into this. We're being pushed into this awakening, but it needs to be slow and subtle, because it can't be too fast because of how weakened we are. But that's another thing. I think it's chapter 7 or 8. It's all about protecting angels. It was never goodbye forever. And I sort of explain it, and it just comes through me. But when I go into my book, I have many spirits in my aura, and I can feel them, and they kind of just come through and they come out in my words. And yes, that's another thing. And there's like a divine DNA upgrade we're all going through, and the sun is key, you know, our sun of life. There's a lot of gamma light rays and different levels of frequencies. And if we just get a little bit of sun in our third eye and just feel it, there's so much magic just about to happen. But we're so many of us are so warped in this, you know, Monday to Friday, you know, we live a life of we're born, you know, we go to school, labor, tax, materialism, we retire, and then we die, and we die too early. And it's this like cycle that just goes round and round and round, and we're so used to it. And, you know, we live in a box, we drive in a box, and then we go to work in a box. You know, not all jobs, but many of us do that. And how much sun do we get? And there's all these things, you know. Vitamin D is vital. It's absolutely vital. It's essential for living, you know. And the best form of vitamin D is obviously from the sun. And, yeah, there's just so much more. And I sort of cut through each section in a low way. And when I'm writing my book, it's like sort of trickle feeding the information, and then there'll be a big load of truth come out, and then it will filter and filter and filter. So it's like the way that it's written is divinely written for anyone and everyone to slowly get it, without just like, you know, reading the sentence and being like, no, I don't get it, and they'll, you know, turn off or whatever. So yeah, that's a little bit of an introduction behind that. I mean, I can go any angle here on any of this. So if there's anything I've said that you want me to elaborate on or anything, I can just kind of just go there straight away. But yeah, that's a bit of an introduction to kind of, you know, where I'm going. But the end of the story is going to be beautiful.
Okay, that's a great, great introduction. So anyone that's just tuning in, I have the author on the line, Matt. Go by the author name of Theo. And Matt, let everyone know where you're from.
Yeah, so born in England. I'm 36 years old. I was born in England. I got a call in to just leave with a bag on my back, one-way ticket to Bangkok in 2013. So yeah, 7 years ago. And yeah, done a bit of traveling in Asia. I lived in New Zealand for a year, lived and worked all over, played a lot of football, teaching in foreign countries. And now I've been in Australia for 5 years, so I'm currently, I was remote, but I'm just moving to Queensland, actually. So I'm actually in a remote location now on a part of a three-day road trip. And yeah, I just followed my heart, left my job, left everything, trusted the universe to provide me with money, and she has very nicely, and haven't had to do anything. It's just everything's been planted in my path. And yeah, so I'm going to Queensland, and I'm going to live on a bit of land and just start promoting my book, getting my face out there, doing videos, speaking the truth, and yeah, building an audience, and I just come from a place of love, and yeah, just that's kind of where I'm at now. Yeah, I've got my residency in Australia, so I'm safe here, and yeah, it's just all about getting my because I'm clearly a, you know, like a prophet. I can channel future things and past things and truth things. I can astral travel to different places. And I can see what's real and what's not. So there's a reason why I'm here, you know. But I'm obviously tapping into that now. And this is my first time I've ever spoken. Yeah. So, yeah, that's where I am. Yeah, remote pretty much until I go to Queensland. And who knows? But, yeah, a lot of videos. And I'm just going to get myself out there now.
Okay. And then you also touched on mental health, and that mental health is in the book. So in your country, mental health is a big issue as well.
Massive issue, yeah, especially now. Anxiety is riddled all over the world, especially with what's in our mainstream media. I feel it's about time the mainstream media need to have a good look at what they're portraying to everyone, not just on TV, but on YouTube and all of the big channels, you know. There's a lot of stuff going out there that, you know, it's scaring people, especially the elderly and people that have already got mental health problems and labels and all this stuff, you know, and everything with the whole toilet roll. You know, when we're all fighting for toilet roll, what are we really fighting for? You know, there's all these people that have got mental health labels, disabilities, homeless people, and we're not only walking over them to get toilet roll, but then we're fighting with each other, you know, and what does that say about our society? Yes, there's the mental health side of it, but all of it, and all of the biggest events, you know, biggest floods and I think some of the London riots, there's been different events, tsunamis all over the world, and then looting comes out, and it's like, how can you have a disaster and then steal from thy neighbour? Like, I just don't understand it. So there is that element of mental health as well, and there's like I said, there's a spiritual realms way above, and it's very dark, and people that are very spiritually awoken and they don't realize it, and they're going to be very key soon, are often the ones that are labeled, especially ADHD, bipolar, ADD, and certainly clinical depression, because it can be that crushing, you know, and there's so many people leaving the world, and it's not documented enough. And also domestic violence on women at the moment is documented as 25 women a week are being killed by their partner. I've channeled it, it's actually hundreds across the world, you know. It's just not right, you know. And so there's mental health, and then there's all this domestic abuse, and there's all this violence, there's so much bullying, there's superiority, there's, you know, not taking the hand of a homeless person, they're just, you know, they're left to just fight for their life. I mean, they've already had, they're probably been rejected by their family, they're in the pits of their life, and everything, and, you know, even you get groups of drunk people who go out purposely to beat a homeless man to death and stuff, and it happens all over the world. And, you know, so but this mental health thing, so yeah, touching back to mental health, I don't want to get too lost there, but yeah, so the mental health, you know, there's all these people that are silently suffering, and the biggest problem with mental health is that people say that, you know, our mental health is, and they share all these posts and everything goes round, but then when it comes to the crunch, so many people don't actually, all they need to do is listen, feel it, and show that empathy, show that purity of love of what we are, because we are kind-hearted individuals, all of us, all of humanity are. We may have lost ourselves, and many people, you know, maybe walked in their own ignorance or you know, money, fame, whatever it is, but the bottom line is we don't need to be that way. We can all just be together, and by coming together, we can cure mental health easily. We don't need no pills that suppress our emotions and that can make things worse, you know, because there's a lot of suppressed emotions. So suppressed emotions and mental health and suicide, they're the three big ones. They're the pandemics, you know. They kill way more people than coronavirus ever has or will. So, but yeah, but talking, just talking, real talk, you know, and this is what I want to do in my videos. I want to bring this out in people, bring it out. It's fine to talk about it, but we need to. We're victims, we're suffering. Why are people that desperate that they can't handle this world anymore, that they leave the world? And some of the ways that they kill themselves is really bad, you know, like you've got to be in the absolute pits of your life. And many of those people have literally left it out there for someone and just said, look, I really need help, blah, 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 blah. And then certain people have turned their back on them. And that's the last flashes they have just before they leave the world, you know, that because society's shamefully very ignorant in the masses. And these people are leaving, and it's so sad. And unfortunately, when I write, it's really sad that I have the spirits that have left, and they give me very strong feelings of what went through their mind when they left, and their emotions and everything. So, I mean, I can't count how many times I've cried while I'm writing. It's unbelievable. And so I know how they feel. It's a knowing. I know. That's the suicide part of it. And then all of the other mental health labels, you know, like the people that are depressed and they really struggle with their job and anxiety, and sometimes social rejection is a common symptom to this. So, you know, if you could be depressed and you can have anxiety and people just think you're weird, you know, they're like, oh no, he's a bit weird, oh she's a bit weird, he drinks too much. And they don't see behind it, you know, why is he drinking that much? Why? Because he's escaping himself, because he hates himself, you know, or she or he. They can't handle this depression or whatever, and the same with drug problems. And, you know, there's so many root causes that we need to really start talking about and getting to the point that as a society, a mass society, by the bigger realms of this, we are victims. And if there's so much, you know, like, if the powers that be of this world, not just the elite families, way above that, this is spiritual war, it's not even physical. But if they really wanted to help us, you know, if they really, really wanted to help us, then why isn't our mainstream media showing us, like, you know, visualization, the fact that you can cure cancer through visualization, the fact that you can visualize yourself in a higher realm and actually no disease or anything can actually come in because you're higher, your vibrations. But it's not. It's all fear-based stuff. It's all death tolls, and it's all, stuff like, you know, with celebrities, that there'll be a celebrity that's going to a lockdown in a building or something, and it's all like the media are like, oh yeah, this celebrity's gone here and there, and it's like, you know, who's the real celebrities here, and who's the real actors? Because I would tell you that the people that have got mental health issues and that are forced to survive in a world where they have to have meetings, they have to have interviews, they have to work to survive, because, I mean, we're born in a world where we have to pay to live on it. That's not right. That's not natural, and it's not right, and it's not divine. But these people with mental health labels are forced to live in the society, so they're forced to be an actor. So they're the best actors ever, by far. They should be in Hollywood, you know, and that will cure their mental health straight away. And yeah, but I just think there's so much more to it, and we need to come together. We need to talk. We need to realise, and you know, sometimes what are all these press ups really doing? I mean, if I was in bed, and there's many people in this world now, they're in bed and they're ready to leave. There's so many people right now, and I just really, these are the people I need to really reach out to and say, look, there's more to this. Hold on tight. You know, there's a reason why you're here. You're a strong soul. You've been saved many times. Many of these people can't even, many strong, real strong spiritual souls try and leave this world, and they can't. They've overdosed. They can't. They're trying to pull the trigger. They can't, because they're not supposed to. And this is happening. This is obviously undocumented, and you know, it's not spoken widely about. But what I'm saying is, there's such a bigger picture to this spiritually, you know, and because we're evolving, everything is becoming clear now. Everything's becoming so clear. Like, we're all realizing, now, hang on, we're actually governed by dark forces. And they don't have good intentions for humanity. We're realizing it, but then we're talking about it and we're circulating it. And conspiracy theory was only ever invented by the CIA just to make people circulate crap, and then they just look at it and they can see it. But then when are we going to act? And there's so many spiritual hubs around the world now that people are coming together. And it's obviously not on the media, because that's not what they do. They don't show the truth. And this is what needs to change. And we're going to get to a point where, and I'm going to really, you know, try and elaborate on this. If you're being bullied at work, or you're going to a job that you don't like, and you're sitting into an office and you're looking outside and you're thinking, this isn't right, or even if you're home and you're in lockdown and you're doing, you know, work that they just throw at you just because you need to work, and it's not even in your job description, you know. If you're one of these people, and then, or you've got a bullying boss, or you've got problems in your life and you can't quite handle your job, like, I mean, think about the bigger picture. We're not born here to have a tool of money, because paper, and it's made for nothing, yet it kills, it's the biggest cause of death, money. Put simply, most people would do anything for a certain amount of money, and that's not natural either. But if people are in these jobs, I mean, I took a step, and I was like, no. And I chose to retire from mainstream work and never be told what to do by any boss ever again, because I'm my own boss, and I'm just going to stand on my feet, and I'm going to do what I want, but only ever for the best intentions of humanity. And if more people done that, and then straight away you've got that freedom, you're like, yeah, I don't need to work, and money will come your way. Manifestation is another key to our enlightenment, because we are manifesting masters. God is our voice, and our mother is our whisper, but she's dying, she's being suffocated, she's being burned. The atmosphere is putrid, you know. So we are like genius masters of all sorts, but we just can't quite see it. But if more people start seeing it, the vibrations on Earth will change from fear. Fear is the lowest vibrational frequency ever known. Love is the highest ever known. Nothing beats love. Nothing. I mean, what's better than love as well, you know? The unconditional love our animals give us, and all that sort of stuff, you know, and cruelty to animals worldwide. And the way that we, you know, we don't contemplate what's on our dinner plate and what's actually been the suffering that's gone into that animal. And because, like I say, spiritual energy. So when an animal is killed and slaughtered and a lot worse, you know, I'm not going to go into that part of it. That energy goes into our food, and that goes into our body, and that energy comes out in depression, anxiety, jealousy, rage, fear, superiority, egocentric, you know, having a real egocentric mindset. It comes out because it manifests, because this is spiritual. We only see 2-3% of our actual hidden realms, because if we could see what's around us now, it's not nice. It really isn't. I've seen it, and it's not nice. You don't want to go there. Many people do, and a lot of these people actually also have, you know, the bipolar and stuff. So bipolar, when you say delusional, it's not delusional. Delusional, but it's like a spiritual war in their head. So they're constantly like dark or light. That's why 1 minute, and I mean, I've been labelled with bipolar. I've been on medication for it for 5 years. I mean, I wean myself off, so I'm done with that. But I can tell you, when you're on a manic, when you're on a high, like, it's like you can just do anything, and you have these visions, and your ideas are just going boom, boom, boom. It's so much more natural to where we're going, but then the lows are so crushing. That's when you question everything. You question your life. You can barely walk out the door. If someone knocks on your door, you just, the amount of times they've knocked on my door and I'm just pretending I'm not in because I can't handle it. It gets that bad. So it's like this dark energy being light energy. And our protecting angels are the ones that are actually giving us that light when we have got bipolar, because a lot of people with bipolar disorder, they're spiritually enlightened, very enlightened, but they can't see it because they're plagued in such darkness. And I can tell you the amount of suicides from people from bipolar is so huge, 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 huge. I mean, I can't count the amount of times that I've thought about ending it, like thousands, probably, yeah, tens of thousands easily. But there's a reason why I've held on, you know, and there's a reason why a lot of other people are holding on. But if people can just realise, anyone with mental health right now, just realise there's so much more to this, and your struggles will only ever make you stronger to start with. And you're here for a reason, and no matter what it is, like, I'm not going to stop fighting for everyone with mental health, anyone. I'm going to come out fighting like a lion. I'm not going to stop. I've been silenced my whole life, and I'm just not going to stop until mental health is pretty much danced off of this planet, because dance is another key to mental health. And if we can do mass dances, mass concerts, get loads of concerts going all around the world, get loads of dancing. It's I mean, I've been living and working in indigenous communities. I've seen demons come out of indigenous people when they've danced it off through ceremony, through ritual. And it's not just indigenous Australia, you know, all over the world. Indigenous people, that's why they've been massacred, because they know. And the hierarchy don't want to know, you know, the evil of this world don't want us to know the truth. So dance is key. Dance. You can dance off mental health, especially in big groups. And so I've had this lot of channeling about the future. There's going to be this mass dances in different parts of the world, seven different parts of the world, actually, and seven different stadiums and places where there's stagnant energy in. So like Hawaii, Tibet, near Stonehenge in England, Arizona, New Zealand, Australia, and and one more. And there's this stagnant energy. And the only way to get this stagnant energy off of our earth is through mass like dance. Like there's a tribe of the rainbow is going to come forth very, very soon. They're being trained up right now, and that's 144,000 mental health strugglers and light workers. But it kind of goes hand in hand, because a true light worker is sometimes someone that doesn't realize it, because they're so plagued in darkness, especially depression, major anxiety, and bipolar ADHD. Well, ADHD is a bit different, because they're naturally born leaders. They're shut down too early and often. And then we've got the indigo children and all these different people who are just going to come together. And because we're so spiritually evolved, we've got the power to dance off all of this dark energy off of the planet, and the universe is ready to take it. And when these dances happen, people will feel it worldwide. It's that powerful. And this is where we're going now. And there's a lot of stuff written about the tribe of the rainbow, especially from Native Americans, but this is very connected with Native America, the tribe of the rainbow. And there's even stuff, you know, I'm not going to go in with the corrupt, you know, the biblical scripts and different parts that have been manipulated, but there's little bits in that, and it's more negative about the 144,000 tribe of the rainbow. It says something about marking their heads or something, you know, and it's not right. They just don't want us to wake up. That's the tribe of the rainbows, and that is purely, these people are going to come forth and they're going to be extremely powerful. The ones that, you know, the broken butterflies, the wounded warriors, the silent soldiers, all these people are just going to be the ones, they're going to be massive key to mental health. And when someone's been suffering their whole life and they don't know how they've held on, and all of a sudden this shift comes, and it's just going to come. And it's going to get to a point where you're going to be able to see the darkness coming off of the planet and going into the atmosphere. And this is all planned. And the Great Awakening of 2020, like I said, is a significant time. It's never been known in universal history. This is so divine. We've never been our full, authentic, truly authentic hybrids. We've been experimental victims. We've had our blood manipulated many, many times for millions of years as well. This is, because a lot of dark forces from the universe has come onto our mother. And because she's so divine, they've wanted to take it. And because our human hybrid race, are unbelievably, you know, we're just limitless butterflies. And so many of us have been in cocoons for our whole lives. I mean, imagine how it must be for a caterpillar, you know, going along all the time, getting attacked by everything, surviving that. Then you go in a cocoon, it's like the darkness, you're just trapped, you've got nothing. And imagine that feeling when you crack out of that cocoon and you're flying. I mean, would you even be able to handle that? It's like, it's euphoric, isn't it? It's limitless. It's like, wow. And that's where many, all mental health sufferers, that's where we're going. So just, if anyone's listening, hold on, because your wings are being prepared. You're going to burst out of that cocoon and you ain't going to look back. And I ain't going to stop until this happens. I'm just going to just come out and out and out. I mean, I've got no job, and I'm going to just put all my dedication and time into this. So I hope that covers a bit about mental health. Bit about mental health, anyway.
So in your book, we understand you cover mental health, and you cover other areas in the book. What did we leave out of the book that you would like the listeners to know about the book?
Well, by the end of it, I'm pretty sure there was nothing that I did leave out. You mean what I left out of saying now, or left out of the book?
Well, what else would you like to share about the book? I know we covered a lot of the book, but I wasn't sure if there's anything else that we didn't touch on that's within the book.
Yeah, okay, I will. I won't go into the event. So my back cover. There was an event that happened 12,200 years ago that I channeled, and I'll read out my back cover. This is my back cover. Many thousands of years ago, there was a cruelly unspoken of event that changed humanitarian history. This event was known as the Agreement, which was initiated by the two darkest unseen forces ever known in universal history. Since this agreement, humanity have been the experimental victims to the most cold-hearted psychological operation known within the entirety of living existence. However, as we finally step away from fear and into limitless love, we can now realize that spiritual supremacy shall be our divine legacy. As co-creators, we are all our own masterful teachers of sublimely aligned abundance. They stole our emerald stance, but they will never steal our rainbow dance. Needles don't grow on trees, but miracles do. God is our voice and our mother is our whisper. You were born to be nothing less than a miracle. So that's my back cover. There was a big significant event 12,000 years ago. There was many starseed souls that came together and we signed a contract and we knew that we would suffer for 12,000 years until now. And this is when it's all going to be unearthed. So yeah, and the key is there's too much sea in the world. So, I mean, we live on Mother Earth. It's not called Mother Water. Yet 71% of our world is smothered in water. Our hidden paradise is under the sea. You've got continents of Lumeria, hidden Atlantis. What happened to the pyramids was purposely done to cause erosion. You know, the pyramids were white limestone with gold and copper, you know, and they were power plants as well. So all the pyramids, there's geometric pyramids all over the world, geometrically placed with mathematic precision that even a genius can't quite work out. And they're all power plants, you know, and then we pay for power. So, there's that hidden truth. And the Dead Sea is the key. I'm pretty sure it's the lowest point on Earth. And so the water has no life there. And everyone just, you know, we float around. The mud is miraculous. It gives you younger skin. It's got minerals that go in your body. And it's miraculous. And that water level is actually the key to our world, which we should be living in, because our water levels should be between 15% and 24% smothering our Earth, which would leave a lot more land around everywhere. And this is obviously why there's been different indigenous, especially Africa, Papua New Guinea and Australia, because they were the Great Flood obviously separated them, and they're all the same. You know, the indigenous were already here. They've been here for at least 110,000 years. So there was that part of it. But so our sea is just supposed to be like a turquoise paradise that you can just float around on. And then our inland water is supposed to be like miraculous water, like what it was in the days of the Native Americans. You know, they could swim in it and drink it, and it was magic. They could manifest anything. It was like the purest of the pure water. And as soon as, they had outside interference, stepped foot in America, and straight away the water went toxic. So that's kind of where we're going. There's a lot of sinkholes in the world that have been put there for a reason, and gravitational manipulation and electromagnetic manipulation of our surroundings and the manipulation of our poles, north and south, has been going on for many thousands of years. No asteroid should ever come within our magnetic field, let alone touch our mother. That's another fact. So there's a lot of manipulation going on, and there's a lot of things that we need to find out. And once we do, we can really come together and we can change this world for the better and make it an amazing place, you know, and it'd be beautiful. We can all just be floating around in turquoise seas, and then, you know, the river could meet, and then we can just, you know, swim in this water, and the sea life and the fish, they would be in the fresh water that's inland, and there'd be, you know, much more communication with animals, and it would just be like heaven on earth, which is what it's supposed to be, which is like the golden age. And start getting a little bit more synced into to our spiritual truth rather than being hidden from it. And realize that we've actually got 12 chakras and not seven, and that we're all born to be, you know, millionaires. All of this money that's gone on many things in the world, you know, trillions of dollars spent on war and guns, trillions of dollars spent on NASA. I won't go into NASA. And all this money, you know, and there's like nearly 1,500 underground military bases all around the world, and they're not for good intentions, and they cost between $17 and $19 billion each. You know, that's a lot of money, yet we pay taxes when tax is actually illegal in many countries. So that's our money. So we're on the verge of going into a process, and I know it might sound far-fetched, but that's cool, I understand. And but yeah, we're going to go into a process where we're going to realize that money is our money, and it's being used against us. And you know, we're just these kind of debt slaves that circulate this money that's made for free, yet we're at the bottom of every pyramid ever known. We're at the bottom of this materialistic matrix. And yeah, I think the main thing is just having our empathy and compassion back, because we've kind of lost it, you know. And just getting our mastery, and our loving togetherness, and realizing that separation is not really the answer. There's a lot of people that, you know, there's a lot of lost stuff. I mean, back in the day, you know, there's family dinners where people would just talk more and socialize more, and now everything's like glued to the smartphones. There's over 2 billion children, like less than 2 years old, that are brought up around smart devices, and there's EMF rays coming off of these devices, and it's weakening them. And then there's the programming, and then there's, you know, the whole artificial intelligence agendas, and there's loads of agendas, but I won't go into that. But there's just so much more, and we need to get back to our natural capabilities of our divine abilities, and get back to that rather than and we all do it. I mean, I do it, and smartphones and internet is going to be another key to our awakening as well, because obviously that's going to connect us, you know. And maybe it hasn't always been our friend, but it will be there, you know, to kind of connect us more and turn us into our truth more. Because when we find out the truth, and we find out that all these people that we've just disregarded and thought, oh, they're just crazy, they're talking mad, you know, they're talking insane, they're mad, they're deluded. Yeah, we're going to realize soon that they're not. They're speaking the truth. And more people, when we realize that, that's when the awakening is going to really start happening. And the more and more people that do that, the vibrational frequencies in the world naturally evolve into love, you know. So it's just going to be a beautiful place.
Now, Matt, for anyone that's just tuning in, let them know, how did you come up with Theo and the name of the book?
Yeah, so Theo was actually just given to me. I got guided to go to, it was like an outback sort of church. It was like a church, and all of a sudden I got guided to look at this, it was like a document. There was some stuff about like Jesus and that, and then right down near the bottom, Theo. And then straight away the universe was like, I don't know, it was like this knowing. It was like, yeah, no, that should be your author name. And then I realized the meaning of Theo, Theo is very much linked to, you know, kind of like a little bit of mastery and higher realms. And then Theo, Theo, also means the highly enlightened one as well. And just these different synchronicities. And I was like, yeah, it's just an easy, short name. And yeah, I just had that as Theo. And I wanted to have a more, you know, like a cinnamon name rather than my own name, because some of the things I talk about are very, very truthful, you know. And many people have suddenly left this world by many different means who have spoken fractional truth to what I've said. I say the whole lot. My book says everything. There's pretty much, there's not much you would really need to question after you've read my book. It's not my book. It's from the higher realms, you know. It's just channeled through me. I'm just a channel. But yeah, that's how I come up with my name again. It was another synchronicity where I got led to a certain place to get that name, and I knew that was the name. And this is what happens, you know, when you tap into these higher realms, synchronicity. It's like, why many people are starting to see 11-11 at the moment. 11 is the most powerful universal number. 22 and 33 are up there as well. there's a lot of people are doing a lot of 11s, a lot of people looking at the time, and there's like 11 or 22, and there's all this synchronicity starting to happen, and people are seeing it, and they are realizing, and people are starting to see the truth in crap. Like, I can watch a video of anyone pretty much, and I can just know what's true and false. And unfortunately, there's a lot of videos out there that are very clever in misleading us. And then I can kind of see through it straight away. I'm like, no, that's crap. That's good. That's crap. That's good. That sort of thing. But yeah, that's how my author name, came along.
Now, what was your biggest challenge with writing this book?
This is interesting, right? So the spiritual attacks was by far the attacks on my psyche, the psychological brutality of, if I was going to write something epic, I would know it, because a day or two before, I would start getting memory blanks. I would start doubting myself, questioning myself, lack of confidence, all the things that lead to mental health as well. There's a bigger picture for this. But and I'd get this, and it got to the point, it got so severe, I would lose my identity. I would forget who I was, what I stand for. I think I'm better off leaving this world. That was the real challenge. So psychological brutality, really. I can only really say brutality because it's subtle, but it pushed me to the point where I could write something profound. And whenever I'm in my book, I'm in a higher realm, and I know what's true, and I know it's pure. But if I come away from my book, then it's where this dark energy comes in. And towards the end of my book was very difficult, because that's when things got physical. That's when I, at night, I had, so I've broken my bones and my arms and my legs and different, all over my life, just from traveling. And often, so I have to wear crystals all over my wrists, around my neck, not too many around my neck, but I've got like bracelets and different crystals and pyramids all over my cabin, because I need to, because of these spiritual attacks. And it's not just me that has this. People need to start speaking out about this, because this is real, but yeah, just, and then I'll be like, pinned to my bed, I can't move, and the pain is just like I've broken my arms, and that pain would last for a few days, and then I'd write something, and it'd be so profound, and I'd know that they were trying to, the dark energy was trying to stop me from writing this profound thing, and then I'd find a shift. So every time I go through my book, it's like layers, it's like removing layers of darkness. It's a little bit like Vipassana meditation, but on an extreme level. And then, when it started getting physical towards the end, and I had things coming off my wall, and I had like dark entities coming in and like pushing me down into my bed, and all this mad stuff. And it's just making me stronger, because in the end, I learned that the key to all this is just to smile at it, let it go. And it's not going to hurt you. You just smile at it, and you just say, look, the world's going to wake up. There's nothing you can do to stop it. But yeah, that was the biggest challenge. It was a real psychological, all of the mental health labels I had were just like penetrated and pumped on me, pumped. It's like there's a lot of truth, behind dark telepathy, black magic, witchcraft, all of that stuff. And yeah, I've been inflicted with that, I've realised now, all of my life, and locational as well. So I get sent to certain places, and especially Asia. Asia's a really dark place. Many places in Asia are, and a lot of this sort of dark telepathy and stuff. And unfortunately, this is another part of mental health. Those suffering very badly are often actually getting these dark curses and this witchcraft and this dark telepathy, and they don't realise it. They just think, oh no, I just think I'm really bad. I'm just negative. I've got no confidence there. We shouldn't be waking up in a bad mood or a good mood. We should always be waking up like, I'm feeling amazing, and some people skip this mental health thing because they're kind of in this physical realm and they're happy and they don't really suffer. But yeah, the mental suffering during, especially, well, my first book, definitely, because that was physical as well. And I think it's the going through loads of spiritual attacks and then clicking and then having to turn up and teach football to loads of kids when you're living in the vortex in your cabin. And it's like, you've got all of this mad, downloads and upgrades and all of this divine stuff, and then you've got all these attacks and this emotional, suppression and all of these whirlwind of events going on, and then you just got to be like, I'll set my alarm, have a shower, try and ground myself, eat something, and then I'm just being a role model, got my staff and teaching the Indigenous how to teach football and teaching football, and you have to go from one reality to another. It was another challenge, without a doubt, and then also trying to not say too much to too many people, because people would think you're crazy if you said too many things, and that's very hard, and that's difficult for so many people at the moment, because there's too many people that know the truth and they're very spiritually evolved and they know what's real and they know what's not, but they're deemed as crazy, and it's time to let these crazy ones speak up, because there's going to be a lot more that come out of their shells, more and more and more, and then it's going to raise the vibrations. But without a doubt, it was the spiritual and it was the psychological attacks. That was the hardest part of my book by far. There was obviously the hacking as well. I had my document hacked and the delete words and all sorts of stuff. So I had to be on top of my game with all of it. But so I'm just about to release my book very soon. I've just formatted it, so it's all ready to go now. And my main source would be through social media. I've got another sort of worded interview, and different sources are going to be promoting my book through like Twitter and other parts. So yeah, I'm just kind of glad it would be a relief once I've got it out of there, because then it's out of me, it's gone, and then it's down to the individual to read it, and it's down to them. Then I've done my bit, and then I'll just come out of all the videos. But yeah, that was the hardest bit. That was some serious psychological stuff there, that I went through for pretty much my 11 months, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay, Matt, we got about 1 minute left. So any closing remarks that you want to leave the listeners with?
No, not really. Just know who you are and step into your authenticity. Know your divine truth. Realize that this world is more crazy than what we think, and that normal is not really much. There's not really so much thing as normal in this world. The crazier it is, the more true it probably is. And if we can realize that, that's another key to enlightenment. Mainly my Facebook. You can find me on Facebook. I'm going to be launching my book very soon. And it's just Matt Broster, Matt with one T, so M-A-T. And my surname is Broster, B-R-O-S-T-E-R, which is Bravo, Romeo, Oscar, Sierra, Tango, Echo, Romeo. But yeah, it's just my Facebook, and that's the main key of how I'm going to really get this going. So that's it really for me. If you miss anything, even from a personal point of view, if you want to ask me anything, just go for it.
Yeah, that's it. Well, that's about our time. So I'd like to thank you for calling in today.
Yep, no worries. Yeah, thank you as well. That's cool.
My pleasure. Well, I'll talk to you soon, Matt.
Yeah, nice one. Cool. Brilliant. Have a nice day.
All right. Bye-bye.
Cool. See ya. Bye.
So it's Wale Archer with the Real Rap Radio Show on Downtown Hot Radio. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in today. What an amazing interview with Matt, author Theo. Be sure to follow Wale Archer on all social media. Download Downtown Hot Radio mobile app. Follow Downtown Hot Radio on all social media. For radio opportunity, text Give Me Your Music to 31996. Text Give Me Your Music to 31996. And that's my time on the Real Rap Radio Show. And I'll see you guys next time on Downtown Hot Radio.
Hi, this is author Niecy Jordan from Ypsilanti, Michigan, and you are now listening to The Real Rap Radio Show with Wale Archer.
Looking for affordable family portraits or headshots? Call Wale Archer Photography today for our $49.99 special. 215-GO-WILE. That's 215-469-2545. Portraits, headshots, event shots, fashion photos, family pictures, black and white, candid shots, modeling, boudoir, lingerie in black ink, and more. Call 215-GO-WILE. 215-469-2545.
Give it to me slow.
Thank you for listening to The Real Rap Radio Show.
And I thank you.
Thank you.
Hi.
Andrews, the author of Real Love Is Not For Sale from Miami, Florida, and I listen to Downtown Hot Radio.
Listen.
Yeah. Go.
Thank you for listening to The Real Rap Radio Show with Wailil Archer. Download the mobile app and follow us on all social media. Catch past episodes on podcasts and tune in radio. To be a guest, call 610-707-2346. Email waililarcher@yahoo.com. And for more information, go to downtownhotradio.com.